Company of One, episode number 88.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan, dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
All right, I hope you've been enjoying the series that we've been doing on entrepreneurship. Actually, where I've been covering my entrepreneurship, Awaken Your Entrepreneur, Discovering Your Entrepreneur, as I'm redoing my product. I am, again, releasing it slowly but surely. I thought, hey, I was just going to put it out here on podcast. It's normally a product that I sell. Used to sell it for $148 when it was Discover the Entrepreneur in You, and I'm redoing it. So hopefully this is going to be helpful to you, especially those of you that are thinking about starting something. Now, that could be something from I'm starting a venture capital-based company to something small, you know, just to something to sell over the web, which, by the way, is probably where most people are focused. So this is today I'm going to be looking at the what I would call the critical sales path, and it's really the focus on getting started quickly. Once you have kind of figured out what the product is and you've done an opportunity analysis, which was the previous episode, and you've realized, hey, there's something here, I can make enough money here to be interesting, then you just go at it, and you go at it fast and furious. And so in this episode, there's a lot of stuff in this episode, but I'm really talking you through how to get started and how to quit hesitating and how to quit making all the mistakes most people make. And the focus is the fact that most people never make any money because they never ship it. They never release a product. And we're going to talk through what makes sense between shipping it and when you need good products and product services and, you know, improving processes and some of the stuff we try to do at the beginning. I'm going to try to talk you through that in this episode, as I'm going to go to in a minute. But again, one of the things that I'm told in the last episode I'm a little bummed out about is I've got some of people I have coached that are doing podcasts now. And they've got more reviews than I do. They've pushed the reviews, and they've really been aggressive about it, and which is awesome. So I'm making fun of them. But I would like to get more reviews on this show. So again, I'm going to give away a 1 hour of my coaching. You can find it at dalecallahan.com/coaching. But I'm going to give away to it. I'm going to grab somebody that's done a review. Again, it doesn't have to be a 5-star review. Love it to be. But I'm going to give a 1 hour coach. I'm going to randomly grab somebody and I'll just get in touch with you. So what you need to do is give me a review and just shoot me an email so I'll know how to get in touch with you is part of the issue. I don't know that I always can tell from the iTunes review. So anyway, if you listen to this, shoot me an email and I'll randomly grab somebody. I mean, if you give me an iTunes review, I'll randomly grab somebody and let you, you know, give away 1 hour of coaching. And the coaching I do a couple of things. I help people with career transitions, people that are just stuck, people that are starting businesses and creating products, and help you just think through and get a plan. A step one, step two, step three, which is what I love to do. I mean, I love it for me to have a plan. All right, so let's go ahead and just jump right into the episode today where I'm going to, where I'm straight off of the course, the chapter 3, the critical sales path. As we begin in chapter 3 of Awaken Your Entrepreneur, and I would call this chapter the critical sales path, let's begin with a quote from our friend Napoleon Hill, the author of the book Think and Grow Rich. There is one quality that one must possess to win, and that is the definitiveness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants, and the burning desire to possess it. Those are critical qualities that, as we look at going into business, that we have to get very focused on. And I keep coming back to this concept because you've got to want to win, and you've got to have a purpose, and you've got to have desire. And so much of that comes from things that you've got to find business aspects that you are interested in. You've got to find things that fit your calling, that fit your purpose, that you're passionate about, and you've got to flesh out the opportunity. But once you are there, you get into what I would call a critical sales path. Now, I will just say sales are a critical part of the business, and you should be with me and say, duh. You know, but so often that's a typical hang up that people get hung up in the business, and they want to do things and they're never ready to sell a product. Processes and products evolve with sales. And I'll talk a little bit about what that means, but let me just make one statement. And some of my mastermind group members said this, and we almost say it jokingly to each other now, is people cannot buy what you do not sell. In other words, you're not going to make any money until you actually put a product on the market. So what we're going to deal with here in the critical sales path is you must get a product in the market, because if you don't have any sales, you have no business. And when I look at, and we'll look at the forensics issue, but one of the big hangups of one of the reasons businesses fail, probably the biggest reason businesses fail, is they never start. They never go out there and put products in the market and really push the products. They never try to serve the people that they started to serve. And without products and services, you're not helping anyone. You can plan, you can do all kinds of stuff, but you're not helping anyone. So we have to remember this. If there's no sales, there is no business. There are two big dangers I find going into business. And I was telling a business this the other day. Number one is you try to get perfect processes and products, I should say, before you start. You try to make everything perfect. That's a huge, huge, huge mistake. Seth Godin is known for saying, just ship it. Let it go. Let it get out the door. You've just got to get products in the market. But the second danger is once you start selling products and you start growing, then things become confusing. Is businesses then, they get so used to putting products in the market and they're a little sloppy. You know, just let's throw it out there. Let's get it out there. And then they never go back and start improving the processes after you start. Now, that number two, let that hang with you for a later period of time. Once you get started and things start moving and revenue starts coming in and maybe you have people involved or you're starting to get people involved, you need to look at processes, because otherwise you have a nightmare on your hands. If a very successful business with no process is equals nightmare. So we want to try to get... right now, we want to just try to get things started. So the first hang-up is probably going to be yours as you get started. So let me just think about the critical sales path is your first sale. You must package the product together and get it to someone now. Now, you must ship it. Am I clear on that? You must ship your product. You must get it packaged somehow. Think about now. Think about friendly customers if you need to. When we first started the homeschooling stuff, and if you're watching this on the video, we have a picture here of what the product looked like. It was DVDs, and we went to Sam's Wholesale and bought DVD cases, and we just put them in there, and it wasn't very pretty, let's put it that way. The printed guide and what's in the picture here is actually a little nicer than what we started with, which was just basically printed, stapled together, and shipped it. Because what we were trying to do is we're trying to serve the customer. The customer, the packaging is important. Let's not joke about that. It is important. But when you're starting, you've just got to get product in somebody's hands. I have seen products sell for significant amounts of, I mean, significant amounts of money, products that have made millions of dollars that are literally photocopies. Photocopies, you can tell they're photocopies. They're photocopies in a three-ring binder bought from Walmart with a little cover insert that's printed on a printer that's not very fancy. And they've generated millions of dollars in sales because what the customer wanted was not fancy packaging but the information. So you have got to get that first sale. And I remember, let me just tell you, let me be honest, let me be transparent. When we started the homeschooling business, I'm thinking I need a studio, we need to get high-end cameras, we need to get product. And I actually bought some of this stuff and it was pretty much wasted money. And I remember my wife said, just would you shut up and go down there? People need to learn math. Can you go down there and turn on a stupid camera in front of a whiteboard and start teaching the math? You know, it was so stupid simple when she said it. And pretty much that's exactly what we did. Now, I don't mean it was easy. It was still work to get it done. But instead of being focusing on packaging and cameras and video shoots and everything, I started focusing on the product. And it came out very, very, very quickly. And I remember the first sale. We got it, and I don't know who bought it. It wasn't a friendly customer. We just put it up on eBay, we put it up on a website. We kind of blasted out a few ads, and somebody bought it. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, somebody bought it. I gotta package this stuff up and ship it. I mean, I'm a little twisted maybe there. But you got to get to that first sale because that first sale creates momentum. And here's the other thing that we don't think about. Customers, you can do surveys, you can talk to potential customers all day long. When people start writing you checks, when people start paying you real money, they start giving you real feedback. And I don't mean negative. I mean, when you start charging for products and services, even the customers who haven't bought yet, you still start getting real information. And it's not a survey. It's not, yeah, that would be nice to have. It's real serious information. So you got to get the product, ship it, ship it, ship it, ship it. You got to get something out quickly, aggressively. Even the course that you're listening to right now, when we first did it, we did it as a webinar. We slapped it together, and it wasn't near as well done as it's being done now. But, you know, we got it out there. And it's made money, and you know, and it's made money for a couple of years. And we decided, hey, we want to redo it, and you know, or I wanted to redo it, and polish it up, and do some things that would make it a little nicer. So ship it, get that first sale. Then the thing you learn about is the second sale. Now that seems like I'm just really crawling right now, right? But you got to get the second sale. But as you know, is it really first and is it really second? Well, the first, yes, is absolutely critical. The second is absolutely critical. You begin to learn your processes. Is it in the second? Is it in the third? You know, what starts happening is you start realizing, oh my gosh, what we realized when we did it is we're like, we have to ship this, you have to go over to UPS and you have to do this and you had to cut and paste junk. And we learned it was a real pain in the rear to ship something. And we started really realizing some of our processes were really clunky. And we hadn't thought about it. You know, you didn't think about that. You just think ship it. And then you realize, well, shipping's a little bit of a pain. And then you start thinking about packaging because you package products and they were falling out in shipping, you know, and little things happened. And customers would call us and we would reship stuff because, that's natural. As long as, and by the way, when that happened, if something broke in shipping and we sent it to them, they, you know, people weren't upset. They appreciated the fact that we took care of them. You know, they didn't expect perfection. But you start to understand as you start selling products, you start to understand what is the product really. We understood the product was not about math. It was about coaching students and the parents on how to get through the material, right? It was more of a service than a product. We also understood who it really served. When we first started the product, we were thinking, okay, well, you know, this is for the students, you know, and then, you know, it was kind of a wake-up call, which this may be obvious to you. We weren't serving students. We were serving moms, because who wrote the check, right? And it wasn't dads. It was moms. We started realizing it was mom's pain we were trying to make go away. We were trying to solve her problem, and she's busy. She's got a couple of kids. She's forgot high school math. She doesn't even know how to grade the test. So we were starting to do all this kind of stuff. We were beginning to get clarity. What need does it feel? What's the value proposition? And you start to get more and more and more clear on these kind of things about what's going on. Only after you put products on the market, you understand. This is why you have to do it quickly, because until you start selling products and services, you don't really know what you're selling. That sounds a little silly, but there's some truth to that. You just don't really understand what's going on in the market until you start taking money for it. As you begin, and then you start selling products, and I'm just gonna pick on the 10th sale here. You know, you relearn your customers. You define what you make. You begin to get what we call your customer avatar that I talked about earlier. You know, define your customers in a sentence. What's their major concerns? Because you're hearing it. They're emailing you. They're talking to you. They may be calling you. They may be sending you notes and messages. And you start to understand. And I don't mean any of this is ugly or where they're dogging you. I just mean you start to hear the pain in their voice and the concerns about why they need your product. And you also start to think about packaging and what if you're looking at the picture here, we went from the little individual cases in Sam's to a DVD case that we found. And we were like, wow, this is actually cheaper than this. But we didn't know it, because now we happened to be searching around for a better way to package. Now, had we been trying to get to that better way to package from day one, we would have spent forever. But you just ship it, and then you improve products as they go along. Again, you're thinking about potential customer names, and you begin to define your customers, what magazines they read, what products they buy, what trade shows they go to. And you've probably at this point, you've done some things and it didn't work. Right. We went to some trade shows and, it wasn't that it was not the best experience, but it wasn't valuable to us. And we realized why. It was because just the way those things kind of worked, it didn't fit with what we were trying to do. We learned some magazines were duds. Some were awesome that we advertised in. You know, we learned to do some things on the website that were awesome and some things that were duds. I mean, you just learn as you go, and you make mistakes, and that's just normal. Then you get to the 100th sale. Now, again, I'm just picking numbers random. These could be the thousandth. It depends a lot on your product space. But as you start to sell more and more products, you start to think about processes and roles. And this is how it flows. So I'm not trying to get you, if you're on step one, I'm not trying to get you overwhelmed. What I'm trying to make you do is not think about the 100th thing on the first thing. Just let these things come. Later, you start to think about processes and roles, production and inventory control, customer data. You've captured a lot of that, but you really haven't done anything with it, because, at first you can capture this in a notebook on handwriting, and it's no big deal. You start to think about financial accounting and retained earnings and legal and accounting, and you start to become official. And you see, and if you're looking at the product now, we started to shrink wrap, and we really got some high-end artwork on our products to make them fit together better. And we began to shrink wrap and, do some things, partly because we found it was cheap and easy to do, and it solved some simple problems, and it made your product just look a little more spiffy. Is that a good word, spiffy? Anyway, but you get the idea. We also didn't have any legal structure at this time. We had no LLC. We had no. A matter of fact, I was running the business out of a consulting bank account, not my personal bank account, but just another bank account I had that I used for stuff. And I had multiple activities going on in that bank account, and I was running it out of there. And at this point, we became more official. We formed LLCs. We got official bank accounts, and we did some things. But part of that was because we were dealing with vendors, and they needed us to have those things to do business with them. Again, we could have done that on day one, but really what we were focused on is just getting products in the market. But now, once you start selling lots of products, now's the time you start implementing little bits of control. Not a lot, but you start thinking about you controlling the business before the business controls you. Again, you don't worry about this from day one. Literally, just let it go. Let it be sloppy. Just move products onto the market and just let it go. Now, I'm going to say there's a lot of blessings here, and this is kind of a mini point. Blessings from mad customers. I mean, really, you're going to have some customers that are mad, and maybe mad is not the right word, but they're disappointed with products and they want some refunds. Number one, you learn that you do have some product problems. You have some product and delivery problems. Sometimes you learn because people are saying and complaining and whining that you really have, there's a new opportunity. People started telling us, why aren't you guys doing geometry? And that became a new opportunity. Matter of fact, listening to the customers, we were selling Algebra 2 and Trig and Calculus, and people kept saying, geometry, why aren't you doing geometry? Please do geometry. You guys are lacking because you're not doing it. I mean, it came in positive and negative, you know, and we put geometry on the market, and it today and has always been our biggest seller, mostly because we were interacting with the customers. And you also learn what customers to fire. I love that, don't you? You learn that some customers don't fit, that there's some customers that you just don't want to have. They don't fit your products and services. People who wanted just math just to be checking it off, and they wanted the easy stuff, and there is easy stuff on the market. And you know, we were trying to hit those and hit that market too, and we realized not worth it. They don't really want what we have to offer, so we're just going to ignore it. Now, critical sales and processes matter regardless of the cost of the product. Let me say that again. Critical sales and processes matter regardless of the cost of the product. Think about that. And a lot of people are trying to sell products and they're trying to undersell. It can cost just as much to deliver a $1 product as it does a $1,000 product. Right? It can cost you just as much time, energy, and money. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with cheap products, but you start to look at, how do you add more value to the customer? Obviously, dollar products are easy because they flow. But having cheap products is never really a good plan. As a matter of fact, you probably want to be mid-range in the market. Don't try to do Walmart and be the cheapest product. But, you know, the main thing is, and I've learned this at the university thing too, is we say, you know, getting a contract from a company, a $10,000 contract is just as hard to mess with as a $100,000 contract. And that's true. So you just want to keep this in mind, that if you're trying to get cheap products out there just to be cheap and to, because you think people are going to buy that, you're going to spend as much time and energy on that as you do everything else. But again, this is stuff that you're going to learn and you're going to grow into. What I'm trying to do is paint you a path. This is where you're going. But part of the reason I want to paint the path is say, understand, yes, that is where you're going, but you don't have to start. Don't start there. Don't try to start your business where somebody who's been doing it for 5 or 6 years is, or even 2 years, because they've learned so much. You just want to go one little step at a time. The first thing in your critical sales path, absolutely the first thing, is you must get something out there somehow on the market to sell and get some customer. And then you've got some growing to do. And then you learn. Awesome. Hopefully that helps you on thinking through your critical sales path. Again, I want to encourage you, ship it. Get something done and ship it. I have another course, or actually it's a coaching as product creation. I can't speak. Product Creation Academy. And we will be doing that again very soon. Depending on when you're listening to this, you can go and look up Product Creation Academy on my website at Dale Callahan. The show notes for today will be at dalecallahan.com/88. And again, just to reiterate, I would love to get iTunes reviews. So if you are interested in getting some free coaching and want to connect with me and get some free coaching, do an iTunes review and I will randomly grab somebody. This is a contest, I guess, but I'm going to randomly grab somebody and that does an iTunes review and get in touch with you. So give me an iTunes review, shoot me an email, and just tell me you did. And I'll just grab somebody here. I'm not sure what the time frame will be, and it somewhat depends on my travel schedule, but I'll be doing that very soon. But now we've covered the critical sales path, and if you've listened to the last couple of episodes, you've gotten some training that I do that I charge for normally on the entrepreneurial model and getting things started. So let's go make something happen.